When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Daryl Mosley has been involved with the bluegrass music industry for more than 30 years as a songwriter and a vocalist, including an almost 10-year stint with the famous Osborne Brothers. From there, he formed the band The Farmhands before launching on a solo career in 2020. He has written 10 number one songs and been named Songwriter of the Year 3 times. Daryl joins us for this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his third solo record, A Life Well Lived. Hey, Daryl, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with us today. We've done this before. I'll link in the notes where people can listen to our earlier interview. But it's been a couple years, and you've been up to quite a few things since the last time we chatted. So it's good to reconnect with you again.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't sit still very well. That's what I always say. So I try to stay busy.
Well, just as a quick, in case some people don't get a chance to listen to the earlier podcast, or they maybe don't know you or haven't had a chance to hear about your story previously, let's just do a quick recap. You are in Carolina, right? North Carolina?
No, I'm actually in Waverly, Tennessee, now west of Nashville.
Okay.
I've traveled, of course, everywhere, but I've never lived anywhere else. I've always lived right here in Tennessee.
Did you grow up with music?
Yeah, you know, my mom sang and played guitar a little bit, and, you know, we sang in church a lot. But when I was about, 15, Loretta Lynn lives here in our community, actually about 5 miles from me is where she lived.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I knew her daughters and went to school with them, and so she has a kind of a tourist place, a little dude ranch, they call it, out here. And so she hired me when I was about 15 to do a little show every night for the visiting, you know, campers and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And so that was the first really, what you might say, professional thing. The first time I ever got paid, I guess, to sing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And it kind of got me started. I really, the bug bit me then as far as wanting to perform live and pursue that as a vocation.
Did you ever want to do anything else?
You know, not really. I mean, there's other things I have done along, you know, at different times along, you know, when music would get slow. You know, I worked in radio and I enjoyed that. And I built cabinets with my father-in-law one time, and, you know, it was fun. I enjoyed woodworking, but music's always been the driving force. It's, you know, it's mm-hmm. always been what I've wanted to do. And, you know, I love the touring. I love the travel. And after all these years, I still do.
And it's been almost exclusively bluegrass, right? Have you branched into country at all?
Not really. I mean, I grew up on country music and gospel music, and mm-hmm. but I kind of stumbled into bluegrass back in the late 80s, and then all through the 90s, I was touring with the band New Tradition, and we were doing 200 dates a year. And then when I left that, I ended up going to work with Bobby and Sonny Osborne and worked, you know, for about 10 years, you know, as far as part of the Osborne Brothers. And then, of course, with Bobby after Sonny retired.
Yeah, yeah. And we just, of course, yesterday learned of the passing of Bobby, and he'd been pretty active, right, up until just recently. It was...
He's another one that didn't sit still well. I asked him one, Chris, you know, it just breaks my heart to think that, you know, I'm living in a world now that does not include Bobby or Sonny.
Yeah.
Because they were both really good to me and really close. And I asked him once, I said, are you ever going to retire? And he laughed and he said, and do what, Daryl? And I see his point. You know, I mean, he was doing what made him happy. So why would you quit that?
Well, and that could apply to anybody with any career. Can you imagine having I think he was 91. Imagine doing something for 90 years that you couldn't imagine doing something any different. I mean, that to me is that's the exclamation point on a life well lived.
Yeah, you know, and in recent years, he toured some with, he had all three of his sons in the band, Robbie and Wim and Bobby Jr. were all in the band with him. And so getting a chance to travel and tour with your kids and hang on the bus and do that. And I'm sure he actually had family time in a way that he'd never had it back in the years when they were just so wide open. So, you know.
Sure.
I think he's a great example of a life well lived.
And I'm guessing you knew well the legend you were playing with when you got to be in their band.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I grew up listening to him on the Upper End, and I worked some festivals where we were on the same bill that they were. You know, they were kind of larger than life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but. You know, when I became part of the group, they really just kind of took me in, and it became like a family thing. And they were just always so great to me. Sonny was the one that I could call with, you know, advice. You know, as far as business stuff, he had a great business head. And you know, but and Bobby was also an absolute great shooter. Don't ask his opinion if you want to know. And I loved that. You know what I mean? Because that's what, if you're asking somebody what they think, you don't want to just blow smoke at you. And he was not
sure.
a smoker.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they were the best, absolutely.
How did that change the way you looked at music, bluegrass music in particular, the music industry? You know, having the track record that they had before you were able to play with them, I would imagine any up-and-coming musician or somebody even in the middle of their career to get a chance to be exposed to somebody with that kind of talent and longevity, I'm just curious, how did that change your perspective?
It actually a lot for me, because all the years all the 10 years that I was on the road with New Tradition, all of us were young guys. None of us had been a sideman with anybody.
Mm.
So we didn't really know how to do the sideman thing. You know, mm-hmm. we were an equal part active band. And so actually stepping into that role and kind of for the first time learning the rules, so to speak, and the right way to do it. There were times that we'd get off stage and Sonny would shake his head and he'd say, "Man, you sound like crap." Well, I knew he wasn't talking about him and Bobby. You know, I was the other singer, you know. And so, you know, so I knew I really had to step up and figure out, well, where are we loose? Where, you know, is it a phrasing thing? Is it a pitch thing?
Yeah.
You know, after probably 4 or 5 months into the band, he stopped saying that. So I'm assuming that we got either he got used to me or it got better. So,
yeah.
It causes you to always bring your A game.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that was fun. One time, I'll never forget this. We were on stage at a festival and somebody wanted to hear Georgia Mules and Country Boys. Well, we had never done a song. I'd been with them maybe a year, but had never done it live. And so they just kicked it off. And I knew my part because I would shed it and I had to listen to their music. Later on, we were sitting on the bus and Sonny looked at me and he said, "Have we ever done Georgia Mules since you've been with us?" And I said, "No, we hadn't." And he smiled. He said, "I guess it's a good thing. You knew your part then, isn't it?" I said, "Yes, sir, it is."
Yeah, wow. Yeah, but to be able to be ready or to come ready takes a lot of offstage work on your part.
Yeah, I mean, the day that I auditioned for them, you know, Sonny said, "Go learn some songs." He didn't say, "Go learn these songs." He didn't say, "Here are some CDs." He just said, "Go learn." And so I went to, at the time, in the Nashville Ernest Tubb Record Shop and bought every Allman Brothers CD they had.
Wow.
And I spent the next week listening, driving, and learning those harmony parts. At night, I'd work on the bass parts. And the following week, we got together, we rehearsed one more time, and looked at me and he said, "You'll do."
Wow.
And we played the Grand Ole Opry that night.
Wow, that's amazing. Was that your first trip to the Grand Ole Opry?
No, I played it with New Tradition a couple of times, but, you know, it was my first time at the Ryman and first time in that building. And here I am on stage at the Ryman Auditorium with the Osmond Brothers. I was pretty nervous.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, thanks for that reflection. Whenever people are listening to this for this conversation, his passing is so recent. So it's, I'm sure there's tons of conversations happening over the next coming days. And so I appreciate you sharing your memories.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Like I said, you'll never catch me saying a bad word about those guys. They were just golden to me.
Yeah. So you have been a songwriter your whole life. Is that, do you consider yourself a songwriter first and then a musician, or does it not matter?
I do now. You know, for a long time I didn't. I mean, I thought of myself as a singer and wanted to be a singer, and, you know, and honestly, singing harmony parts, being able to do that, got me the job with the Osmond Brothers way more than my bass playing ability. But so I always thought of myself first as a singer, but I had been a songwriter that entire time. And for a long time, I didn't really think about it. You know, we need an upbeat song to close out the album. So I'd just write one. I thought, man, I can do this, you know. Mm-hmm. And it took me some years and some time around other writers and to realize that, you know, it's, as I've often said, songwriting is part gift and part craft. You know, I'm thankful that the good Lord gave me the gift. But the craft part, that responsibility falls to me to work at it, to be as good a songwriter as I can be. And at that point, I realized that it really became more of a passion for me to try to become as good a songwriter as I can and to write as good a songs as I can write.
Which has netted you, I believe, 10 number one songs and Songwriter of the Year, at least with Spigma, 3 times, I think.
Right.
So you mentioned working at the craft. What does that look like for you? Like, how do you hone that and stay, like you said, how do you bring your A game to your songwriting?
You know, number one, I read a lot. And that helps. Just thinking, you know, about words and the way to say things, especially, you know, I mean, not just the poets, you know, not just, you know, the classics, but anything that's got a little bit of, you know, meat to it, I do that. And of course, I listen to a lot of really great songwriters, and because I love a great song, no matter who wrote it. You know, obviously, I want to write great ones, but I love great songs, and so occasionally, you know, when I hear one, I mean, I'll send a message to my friend that wrote it or my friend that recorded it, like, that's just the greatest song. And, you know, because our songs excite me. And that works as motivation for me to keep trying to chase that carrot at the end of the stick, trying to write a better song.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a routine? Do you have an hour or two or three set aside each day, or is it a little more organic than that?
It's a little more organic. You know, when I'm co-writing, it's a little more structured, you know, because you have to schedule those. And so, that's a little more structured. Most of my solo writing is done while I'm driving.
Huh.
Well, for me, that's a lot because I'm on the road a lot. And so, other than driving, I'm not distracted. I'm not looking at a phone and I'm, you know, that sort of thing. So I have a little bit more of quiet time mentally to write. And so actually several of the songs on the new album came from writing while I was driving.
Okay. Wow. That's cool. And I guess you have some sort of recording device nearby. Obviously you can't drive and use a pen at the same time, talk about that.
Yeah, don't do that. Most of the time when I'm writing, it doesn't always happen, but most of the time the lyrics and the melody will start shaping up at the same time. It's almost like trying to remember the words of a song you used to know. It's like it's just beyond your reach, and you're kind of trying to coax it back. And so I'll just start singing, and so the melody usually finds its way around the words at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And so once I've kind of got a handle on it, then I'll grab my phone and the little voice recorder, and I'll sing it on that, and that way I can go back later and kind of tweak it.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. So you left the Osmond Brothers, formed Farmhands, right? Or co-formed?
I did.
Yeah. And spent, you know, quite a few years there.
Yeah, I was, I think 9 years. You know, I was playing with Bob Osmond. Sonny had retired at this point, and I was playing with Bobby. And Tim Graves, who was in the group, was Tim and I talked, and you know, Bobby continued to get older, and I thought, you know, Bobby's going to start slowing down, and so, you know, we should probably start trying to figure out what the next chapter in our life musically is going to be. And of course, you know, we had no idea. Bobby didn't slow down near as fast as we thought he might. But so we put together the farmhands, and we worked, like I said, a number of years and had some success with that.
And so had being on your own, having a solo career, had that been on your radar prior to that? Was that something you always wanted to do eventually?
You know, not really. It's just throughout my time with the farmhands, you know, I began to get more and more focused on songwriting. Uh-huh. And that became, you know, I mean, I was the lead singer in farmhands, and I still love singing, I still do. But somewhere during that, that's really when the transition in my life began to really strongly flip between seeing myself as a songwriter first. Mm, okay. And so I really wanted to pursue more of that. And I wanted to do some of songwriter festivals and things that were, you know, more aligned to the songwriter craft. And I certainly didn't want to slow the band down. You know, I didn't want to say, you guys got to take off this weekend because I'm going to go do this songwriter mm-hmm, thing. And, mm-hmm. and so the right thing for me to do is to step out. As it turned out, timing-wise, could not have been better because I left in September of 2019. And
oh, wow.
I immediately went in the studio and started my first solo album. And I had just gotten it finished. I mean, it was just in the can when COVID hit with a vengeance. And so... I spent a lot of time during 2020 when there was road work doing press and got let up seeing some, you know, really amazing publications and things that maybe it wouldn't have happened had everybody else been as busy as I happened to be at that time.
Yeah. A lot of people kind of fall on both sides of that because they either kind of where you were, they were ready to just kind of invest that time in it and take their time, and or they kind of got stuck and, you know, half done, half not. And now what do we do? And it's interesting to hear how different artists have navigated through that season and come back to where I think maybe this year we're starting to feel a little more like normal, like it used to be. I know a lot of venues haven't bounced back yet, but it feels like closer to 2019 than it has in a while.
I agree. Well, and certainly it was easier on me as a solo artist than it would have been if I was a part of a band.
Sure, you know? Yeah.
Because bands, actually, that was the first thing that shut down was, you know, places that held crowds. And that was the last thing that opened back up. And so, that hit them the hardest. You know, with me, I was once COVID began to wane a little bit, even when a lot of the concert venues and that sort of thing were not open back up, I was doing house concerts and things like that where I could still perform live and still generate some income, where, you know, if I was with a touring band, it would not have been feasible to do it.
Yeah, right. So you, from that time till this, you're getting ready to release your third album, Life Well Lived, right? Is that the name of it?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's, as we're talking, comes out middle of next month, July of 2023. Tell us a little bit about that new record.
You know, I've always been drawn to writing about small town America. I'm a small town guy I love this life, you know, living like we do out here. And I tend to gravitate towards, you know, the old habits and the old customs and that sort of thing. And so a lot of songs I write, you know, kind of reflect that, you know, family and neighbors and faith and that sort of thing. And so this new album is kind of another collection of those types of songs. It's, you know, it's songs that people in my part of the world, I think, understand. And, you know, and it seems to, they seem to resonate, you know, everywhere, because a lot of those values seem to, you know, to filter in, you know, regardless of where you are.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed, is it the current release, is a song about Mayberry? I think the Mayberry Way of Life or something like that.
Yeah, it's called Mayberry State of Mind.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, a lot of us, you know, in the rural South talk about living in a Mayberry kind of town. And, you know, and my town's certainly no exception. You know, we have an ice cream parlor on the square. We have a one-screen movie theater, you know, that's been open since 1936.
Wow.
They're showing movies every night.
Wow.
You know, it's just that kind of place. And so I have believed that, you know, if you watch the Andy Griffith Show, like so many of us still do, you know, that sense of doing the right thing and, you know, taking care of your friends and your family and all of the little, you know, moralistic values that they show on that show. I believe it's really more of a mindset than it is a location. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what the song was about, that I'm stressed out with my job, and, you know, what I need is I need to get in this Mayberry state of mind. And so we shot a video for it down here in my town, and
cool.
And it was fun. And so, yeah, it's doing real.
It feels like that most of America is longing for that, even if they don't know what that means. There's something about the basic, more simple life, less chaos, seems to be calling all of us in some way to that mindset.
I think part of that is probably driven by the fact that, you know, we are constantly engaged, mm-hmm. and it becomes just the world that we live in. You know, you're whatever you find interesting, whether it's the news or sports or whatever, you've got this constant flow of that coming from that device in your hand. And now, you know, if you stop and fill your car up with gas, there's a TV monitor on the gas pump, you know, there's this constant engagement. And I find it amazing that I'll be in a restaurant and I'll see four or five people sitting at a table, some table, all of them looking at phones.
Yeah.
Nobody's engaged. So everybody's isolated, and yet their mind is still firing, you know, rapidly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that's what the whole maybe mindset kind of tilts that, is that your engagement becomes more interpersonal. It's more, mm-hmm. you know, actually dealing with people and less with the devices. I think a healthy balance of both of that was just probably make for a lot better life for all of us.
Yeah. Well, I hope you hit a very a positive nerve with your song, with a lot of people. I hope it lands well and encourages people to consider a different perspective, at least part of their day anyway.
Yeah, that's the hard thing, is that, you know, you develop habits and you know, you get to where you just naturally reach for it. I've got a couple friends that on occasion will actually take a just like a vacation from their phone. Mm. And what they do is they'll buy, you know, get them a little, you know, flip phone, you know, it's just basic, where they can call out if they need to, and they use it, you know, and put their smartphone away for a while, just to take away the temptation of constantly looking down and seeing what's going on.
Yeah, good plan. So, so what's the rest of your summer and fall look like? Are you out on the road on tour with this new record, or have you not started that yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, really, touring is kind of a constant. You know, it never really stops. I mean, I did 140-something concerts last year, and wow. I think this year will be about the same. And,
yeah.
And, of course, they range everywhere from Texas to Colorado to Rhode Island. Next week, I'm going to Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, you know, and that's my favorite part of it. Recording to me has always been more of a chore. It's kind of a necessary evil, but it drives me. What I find the most fun is performing live.
Now, when you go out, are you going out solo, or do you have a band that's working with you right now?
It depends on where I'm going in the venue. A lot of my dates are solo dates. You know, I do a lot of that. If I'm doing a festival, some of the festivals, I'll have a band. Mm-hmm. I lots of times I'll travel with what I call the Daryl Mosley Trio. And it's a young lady who plays fiddle and sings, and a guy who plays bass and sings. And so it's kind of an enhanced version of my solo thing. But it works really well, and I enjoy doing the trio stuff.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you, Daryl. I appreciate you taking the time to share with us and get us excited about this new record on the way. How can people get ready to hear it? What platforms is it on? How can they get in touch with you about it?
Pretty much any place that, you know, if you stream music, you know, it's there. You know, you can, or it will be, you know, once it's released on the 21st. The singles, some of the singles are there now. So if you stream music, of course, the previous albums are there. I have a website, of course. It's just my name, DarylMosley.com, and you can find me there. And I have the social medias if you go that route as well. So I'm pretty easy to get in touch with.
Great. Thank you, Daryl. I appreciate it. Enjoyed talking to you again.
Man, great to hear from you. I appreciate you making time for me.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.